This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Hip-hop grew up number 11.
Number 11, allegedly. Okay. Didn't we skip some?
Technically, well, it's not like we skipped any. I think we didn't broadcast several ones because we just felt like they weren't up to par. I felt they weren't up to par.
Got it. We're back, and this one's up to par because we got so much to talk about.
We got standards.
High standards. Hip-hop grew up. Same back in the day. Same old demo. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good, and I'm kind of wondering, like, yo, the song's Hip-Hop Grew Up number 11.
Number 11.
We killing it.
You ready?
I'm ready. We got a lot of things to discuss on Hip-Hop Grew Up. So Hip-Hop Grew Up, in case you guys are just tuning in or just ain't, you know, haven't been listening to the previous 10 or 8 episodes, depending on how many we put out on the internet. It's a show that we talk about things that are hip-hop related or things of hip-hop culture related, but kind of like where the older generation of people who grew up listening to hip-hop are helping the current millennial generations and future generations become better human beings.
Yep. In so many ways. Uh-huh. And also getting mature in terms of firmly being positioned in the business world as well. These owners and executives and turning into other businesses and using it for a promotion that you also have ownership of. A lot of progress in that. And of course, moving over to other fields like education, tech, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And just also parenthood, man. Our whole generation is in that age now. And that's why we have so much to talk about. Like me.
And you already know. Talk to us.
This week.
What happened?
New job. Four days.
About it. Oh, yeah. So you're no longer a teacher. That was the...
I'm out.
You seemed a little distraught a little bit last time.
Oh, that's strange. Mm-hmm. To be
embedded.
Just
not being a teacher anymore, because that's what you did the last 5 years. And
you've
now
been around this specific community, and now you go to a whole different place. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's different now. It's like a... It's almost like a satellite operation. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're in a school district, but we have to move around so much. There's 130 schools we potentially are working with.
It's a big district.
Yeah. And so this whole cultural proficiency and inclusiveness, it's been exciting because it's also it's like an entrepreneurial form of central office employee.
You are on a laptop.
So many projects.
Working at a coffee shop, designing awesome things, huh?
On occasion. Mm-hmm. But mainly it's like just going from this office to this location to this school to this school. There's offices in schools.
Popping up.
Mm-hmm. Popping up out of necessity because it's such a vast, you know, such a big district.
Nice.
And so it's interesting just the kind of topics, the type of projects we're able to help people in so many ways. And it's all based around, can you reflect on like your sense of identity and the way that you see the world and the way that you know what you know mm-hmm. well enough to where you can hear somebody else's and respect and honor and use the differences.
Gotcha.
To everybody's advantage. That's the core of what we're speaking on.
Kumbaya, making sure everyone works together, but in ways that are productive.
Yeah. But if you haven't done that work for yourself, then you'll never be able to relate to anybody else's position.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's the basis, man. It's pretty exciting.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Running into different schools. I can't wait to hear more ideas.
I've been able to sit in classes, walk on various campuses, university and high school and elementary real fast, and meet so many people. And attend a conference and, you know, what else? Just so many different moves all in the first 4 days. It was really high paced and different than being in the classroom and being kind of, you know, expected to do a lot of specific things the same way over and over again. Mm-hmm. this is way more project and mission based. It's crazy. It's just weird. But finally, I'm there to where I'm not torn between. So I apologize because last time I was here, I was in kind of like a mood. Energy was different because I was like, oh, what am I going to do? You know, I got students who live 5 houses down from me. I'm like, everybody's on hitting me on Instagram and sending messages and apologies and letters and all that stuff. Super emotional. And I was being kind of macho and trying not to get like outwardly emotional through the process. So it feels good to be on the other side of that. And it feels good to be on the other side of the first week of the new role. So.
Exactly. And I think you're still impacting a whole bunch of students and teachers.
Absolutely.
And the staff or just people who are interested in education in general.
Absolutely. It's exciting, but I'm also intimidated just to share a little bit, you know, of what's not perfect and shiny. I've only been in the field of education professionally for going on 6 years. So that's a big insecurity for me. Mm-hmm. Because I have to work with people with so much more experience all the time.
Yes.
So it's kind of ill that my experience, like I told my wife when I was leaving Decker, I said, that's my hometown. I'm leaving my hometown. She said, no. And what do you think she said next?
You're just going down the street.
She said, hip hop's your hometown.
Oh, really?
And I was like, you're right.
Hip hop grew up.
You're right. That's crazy, right?
It is.
So welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It grew up in real life.
Damn. So congrats, Babu, on the new job. And congrats to government for opening up again. Have you heard this?
Yes, I have.
It's been shut down. You know, it's
first
like,
Mexico's paying. And then Congress is paying.
Yeah, there's many ways we can jump into this long narrative, right?
And now,
but definitely the government was shut down since the opening of the year, and some federal workers weren't getting paid, like TSA workers.
Right.
They're saying some FBI agents weren't getting paid. I'm not sure how. I don't know. If I was a government, I'd make sure those guys were definitely on the higher on the totem pole, getting paid. The
government's been shut down and thus jacked up for a minute.
Yeah, but I guess the Democrats win round one in this tug of war of our American government. But either way, that's cool that it's back open. They're saying the TSA might not show up to work still, that this is a good time for them to have a strike or something.
California is back to work, the teachers.
Yeah, they were on strike too, right?
Yeah, they got a lot out of it. At least, you know, some of their major demands were made.
Like, do they want pension money?
I think there's a 6% raise, and I don't remember the details, but I heard it on Sway in the Morning.
They're back at work. Teachers are supposed to get some kind of increase, too.
That's cool. I mean, any small amount of money is cool, but as you know, there's a lot more important changes that could be made in education.
Yes.
So.
Speaking of popping up.
I'm back at work again.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of government shutdown, what's up?
Speaking of just government shutting down, or just speaking of political reform and things changing, Nas, during the government shutdown, I guess you said he owned a restaurant called Sweet Chicken. What was it? Sweet Chicken?
Sweet Chick. So, yeah.
The chicken restaurant, and they were feeding federal workers, right, who were...
Free meals for the furloughed federal workers until the government shutdown ends. So that was dated on the 25th, which is today.
That's today, so...
So there were like 800,000 people affected, according to this story in the Daily Mail. And so on MLK Day, people who came... to Nas's Sweet Chick restaurants, which there's one in L.A., one in New York. They were giving out free plates on Monday and hadn't stopped as of today, earlier today. I guess this is over now. But it's cool that Nas is posting MLK quotes about what are you doing for others, and they're offering free chicken and waffles Monday through Friday, 11 to 4, all federal employees impacted. Bring your ID, and we'll serve you as you've served us.
That's awesome. There's a lot of awesome restaurants doing the same thing. Like, and there's a couple breakfast taco places offering free tacos. Nice. The same thing, but you bring your ID. And yeah, and it was like, I mean, I'm kind of glad I'm not a federal employee and wasn't impacted by that, but mm-hmm. I know my students were. I know they were going to go on a field trip to the library at UT, the presidential library, the LBJ. Mm-hmm. They got canceled because those people didn't get paid, and so they were the first ones to close up shop.
Wow. So the library was closed.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
TSA workers, I guess, worked like optional. Like, you know, they knew they were going to get back pay, but some just stopped showing up.
Hmm. I don't know, man. Tough. Much respect to everybody who's getting paid again.
Yes. Awesome. Hopefully those checks hit the bank soon.
Right.
So we're talking about Nas and how his restaurant was doing that and feeding people during the government shutdown in other business dealings with the same Nas.
He's a middle school dropout who now owns different companies and is involved, you know, in this VC game. And it hits the news that one of Nas's companies, Pluto TV, mm-hmm. is selling to Viacom.
Wow.
Like MTV back in the day. That he was watching as a middle school dropout. And I'm skipping over his custody drama because it's not important.
No.
Except that, I mean, that's hip-hop sucks. Grew up because people get divorces and they're adults. But the positive news...
It always sucks fighting for the kids.
...is that Queensbridge Venture Partners, according to the Wall Street Journal, mm-hmm. is buying Nas's Pluto TV streaming service.
Wow.
For $340 million.
Big money. Shout out to Nas.
Right. So he probably gets more than a million out of that, right? They own Nickelodeon. They own MTV.
Wow.
And they want to boost their online ad business, it says. So it's an ad-supported video streaming service called Pluto TV. That's congratulations.
Hip hop blew up, man. That's in the 100 millions.
You know, there's not a lot of that's like the big boy club when you make money.
Nas is in the big boy club. Like I said, his dad encouraged him to drop out of middle school cuz it was whack to them.
Yeah, and I think where they were going in the times, that school was probably a tough school to go to at that time.
Yeah, that reminds me of the last day that I was a teacher. I can't remember what grade it was, maybe sixth. But I was telling them, you know, the obvious that education is more important than school. It's like the guy who made your iPhone.
Yeah.
He didn't graduate from anywhere. But he kept working and studying like crazy. So you can't get around it. Don't blame it on school that you don't want to get into studying because you have to. You got to consume some language.
Yes.
Yeah.
And produce something, or at least try to.
And, yeah, unless you're going to exist kind of outside of society for what it is,
mm-hmm.
it demands, you know, multiple literacies like that. So Nas is shining proof.
Exactly. And another,
you can figure it out.
Another rapper that you would not think is a shining proof of great business decision making, like discovering people like Drake, but Lil Wayne
mm-hmm.
has a sports deal on the table with DeAndre Baker?
Right. DeAndre Baker, is he...
top NFL...
Defensive back. Not NFL, but collegiate. He's going to be a top NFL pick.
Very soon.
Yeah, first half of the draft. So, DeAndre Baker
mm-hmm.
is...
A beast.
Young Money is not under Cash Money anymore. Hadn't really put out a lot of artists, but he signed DeAndre Baker. So DeAndre Baker, they say, here's Cortez Bryant, you know, the COO of Young Money, saying, DeAndre's a silent assassin on the field. I can't wait till he shows the world why he's the number one corner in the draft. So he won the Jim Thorpe Award for the best DB in the nation, played for the Georgia Bulldogs, and is expected to go top half of the first round. The Chuck Bednarik Award winning semifinalist, Dre Baker, number 18. He's killing it. And I wonder what that really means. Like, is that mean he just gets to borrow the brand? I just wonder, you know, what does a deal like that do for Young Money?
And, because and think about the other, I know we've talked about rap labels who've had sport deals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I just wonder what it's really about. I guess maybe they just have an agency.
Let's hope it's not a Master P style deal.
Well, even a Master P style deal, there's a learning experience.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Because y'all chose to do it.
Hopefully they learned enough on the first one.
Hopefully.
Nah, but Lil Wayne is not dumb, so.
Right.
I'm pretty sure this is going to be an amazing deal, so shout out to both of those parties.
Air horn.
Another air horn. The Meek Mill Jay-Z prison reform is just hitting the news heavy, isn't it?
It is. That's one of those examples of how we're having these conversations, and those conversations just keep on progressing in ways we didn't even expect when we first got introduced to a topic. So, for example, we were talking about Meek Mill getting out and the West Free record and kind of the thought process and, you know, the type of, you know, more conscious type of music in terms of taking that political stance, right? Yes. And then we flip back to where Jay-Z had written in the New York Times about the justice system, right?
Yes.
Then more recently, we talked about Travis Scott and how in exchange for featuring in the Maroon 5 set, he got the NFL to donate $500,000 to the organization run by Van Jones that focuses on coding and shutting down half the prisons. Lo and behold, the reason Meek Mill was talking about Robert Kraft and Jay-Z on the West Free record is because now it comes out that these guys have put what, $500 million? Or is it $50 million? On.
Is a lot of money.
They've got a new organization, and now Van Jones, the same guy Travis Scott got the donation to go to, is now running a new company. I think it's called Reform. And of course, it has everything to do with reforming the prison system and realistically probably shutting them down. So I'm looking for it right now. Here we go. Reform, charity organization. I see Jay-Z and Meek Mill and different information, but reforming the criminal justice system by changing laws and policies while changing hearts and minds. Reform, fight different. Only 41,000 followers. So this is brand new, but you know it's probably going to be huge. But the understanding I have is that Van Jones is set up to run it. So let me pull it up for you real quick. Reform. Jay. That's all you need in Google world these days. And yes, let's go to CNN where Van Jones happens to work.
Dope.
Let's see. Nice website. Choose your alert frequency. Wow, this thing is ridiculous. And then it takes me away from the story. Jay.
You must have clicked on the ad.
Reform. No, it was all like walls to CNN. Maybe they're just that hot. Here we go. So rappers Jay-Z and Meek Mill have joined sports and business leaders. They were at John Jay College. And they announced the formation of an alliance called the Reform Alliance. They have Robert Kraft. They have Michael Rubin, co-owner of the Philly 76ers.
Those are owners
of New England Patriots. Brooklyn Nets co-owner. Galaxy Digital CEO. And Austin's own richest black man in America. Robert Smith.
Damn.
Married to a Playboy bunny. Robert Smith worth nearly $5 billion.
How do you get it? It's a tech
lives
company.
Lives in Austin.
Or Chevy? No.
Venture capital. Vista Equity Partners. Vista. Yeah. Black man on his way to $5 million. Richest brother in the country. Lives in Austin. I didn't know he was a part of this.
That's crazy. Amazing.
So they've pledged, I said
ATX,
half a million.
Shout out to ATX.
Travis Scott did half a million. They did 50 million. Oh, wow. So what's that, 100 times difference? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's 100 times $500,000.
Big money heavyweight.
Wow. But all in the hands of Van Jones, because he's the CEO of this too.
This is dope, dude.
So that makes $50.5 million from hip hop to Van Jones in the name of prison reform in our last two podcasts.
How would you?
It grew up with an Austin dude.
It is, but how would you reform prison? Like, if you really
heard, shut them down. But good question. Let me go to the let me go see what they're talking about.
Is it just kind of like nonviolent crimes, or just get rid of all those people out of jail already?
I don't know.
Do you have to change legislation?
But like, I'm sure they have a website.
Is Texas going to be cool with that? Like, don't prisons make a lot of money? Aren't those people going to get upset? Like, I'm just saying, like, what lobbyists are going to be barriers for that?
Oh, I understand what you're saying.
I'm trying to play devil's advocate to just see what these guys are going to be up against. I want to... How could we help?
I don't think that's devil's advocate. Help? It seems like $50.5 million is a lot of help. Even though I can't say 50.5, I can just fit 50.5 in the direction of Van Jones, because I don't know where reform is positioned compared to.
There's a lot of people I know.
The organization Travis Scott
in prison, my own family, personal history with all that stuff. Just
it says they fight different.
It'd be nice to help.
Powerful, growing alliance, different backgrounds, industries, political beliefs, leaders in business, government. This is big time. Entertainment, sports, technology, art, culture, voice to the voiceless, changing the laws, policies, and practices that perpetuate the horrific injustice. And then they start talking about Meek Mill. Goes back to basically Jay-Z's article again.
So it's kind of like political action committees, or people would just...
After Meek's release, we joined forces and committed to changing mass supervision laws, probation, and parole policies that will have the greatest impact on the largest number of people. So there it is. 6.6 people are in the criminal justice system in the United States. This is cool. 4.5 million of them are on parole or probation, many for well beyond a reasonable term. $80 billion is spent on corrections, far more than any other country in the world. Those are the numbers that come up right away. This is cool. And then we see Meek. So these guys are on some deep stuff. Like, they're trying to, you know, this is very advanced.
Van Jones.
It's a play. Too. Yeah. With Jay-Z, Meek Mill, various owners, and the richest black man in America.
That's dope.
That sounds like a play. But, yeah, are all these guys not invested in the private prisons? If so, that's pretty cool plot line.
I've heard the rumor that Michael Jordan invested in prisons.
I have no idea.
I remember seeing, like, a meme, but it was, like, a Facebook meme, so you don't know if the ticket is true. Like, right. The Russians created it or whatever, but whether, like, as much as... Russian propaganda has infiltrated Facebook ads to divide America. Maybe they're trying to divide NBA fans into, like, Jordan and LeBron. But I remember seeing that meme saying, LeBron, you know, makes schools and Jordan makes prisons or something. I remember seeing that. Don't know if it's true, but...
Don't know.
It's definitely worth investigating. So, we got people donating to prison reform. We got new music coming out. You said you really liked the new J. Cole song, Middle Child.
Well, once again, it connected to our conversations we've had on the podcast. Because
Paul grew up, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about him, kind of these olive branches, I think we described it, as him like dropping these features with these young cats and not tripping or hating on them because he doesn't have the exact same message all the time. And let's face it, he sounds like everybody else. As far as like the style of music he's making, and it's no different on this Middle Child. He's rapping like one of these new cats, like Kodak Black or somebody. I'm just making that up off the top of my head, Lil Baby or something. You know, it sounds like that, but what he's talking about is being somebody who's in between the new generation and the older dudes. He says something like, "I just got out the doing this with 21 Savage. Now I'm about to go eat lunch with Jay-Z," and that's kind of what the whole Middle Child thing is about, as well as him, you know, having a couple of slick lines to whoever he's talking
to. Had a long talk with Kodak, reminded me of...
There you go.
Young dudes from the Ville, straight out the projects, no faking, just honest. I wish that he had more guidance for real. Right? That's some hip-hop grew-up stuff.
Have you heard it?
No, I haven't. I'm just reading the lyrics. Too many people in the cycle, spending their birthdays inside of a cell. We coming out. Long bloodline of trauma we raised by our mamas. Lord, we gotta heal. We hurt our sisters, the babies as well. We killing our brothers, they poisoned the well. Distorted self-image we set up to fail. I'm gonna make sure the real gonna prevail. Awesome.
I think a lot of people will be interested in it, so we'll see how it shifts. But yeah, man, all these guys coming with these real unique and smart projects and ideas. Prison reform. Tell me back in 95 that's what Jay-Z is going to end up doing.
I never would have thought.
Yep. Always got a Philly guy. It's like Meek is now all of state property.
Just like I never would have thought that the guys who made Back That Ass Up would be a serious force in the rap music industry.
They were by the time that song came out. But I remember like the first 5 seconds I ever heard that song, it immediately sounded like something extremely special to me.
Yes.
Like no drums had even come out and it was like, what is this? So they did that.
Shout out to Manny Fresh. Definitely a Houston resident now when I always see him over there, but man, yeah, that one's a jammer. Yeah, I never would have thought Cash Money Records would have been that big and still, well, we'd still be talking about how Lil Wayne is involved in NFL deals.
Right. Yeah, well.
I never would have thought that. The dude with the last verse on that song.
In the year 2000, man, they were doing some kind of $25 million deal, remember?
Mm-hmm.
So, but now, yeah, it's gotten real deep that they will still be around, huh? 20 years later.
Like, responsible for Drake.
Right. And Nicki Minaj. And then now Lil Wayne is like a goat.
Mm-hmm.
He was just the young dude.
That was another, yeah, even before Drake, like just mm-hmm. the whole evolution of Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne with the little afro.
Oh, that was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Hot Boys, like even all that.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy. Big Timers.
Right.
Anyway, but yeah, that's just a. Never would have thought Jay-Z would have done Prison Reform. Never thought Cash Money would be. What's another never would have thought?
I never would have thought Jay-Z would be Jay-Z from when he was, you know, just regular like everybody else.
Yeah.
Yep.
I guess we never thought Beyonce would have been that big either.
Yeah, I guess not. But she was pretty outstanding every time you ever saw her.
You're right about that.
She was always getting better and better and better and better.
I never would have thought that this R. Kelly thing would have blown up as big as it did.
Me neither. You would think it was just old news. But I think everybody's not reading. And everybody's not thinking about it.
Everybody's not real.
And that TV just makes it real. It's like it's brand new again.
What's another I never would have thought?
I never would have thought. That there would just always be something new coming out of Houston, Texas, making a dent. Like forever. Somebody's always bubbling. It's like, I mean, Houston. It's Houston though. It's big international.
Like Travis Scott, it was a kind of left field.
Yep.
But he was kind of silently working in the music game. Just kind of, there's like always like these silent writers and producers and, you know, people in the studio constantly helping create awesome projects that you just, you know, they're kind of laying in the cut, you know, for a long time. I mean, not just in hip hop, but in other genres, just kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
Great writers. And just the evolution of him and then the evolution of other people. And then kind of other people who just don't take the traditional, like, record label way. They're just kind of, like, blowing up on the internet. Like, Maxo Cream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Yusef Fat Tony. Like, we're talking about Toby. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whose videos are just insane, by the way. But and there's like Boston George has a project with like Young Jeezy that's coming out.
Boston George, huh?
Yeah, who's just like on the whole trap side. And there's just a lot of like people dropping records like from like everywhere, and they're just kind of like internet hits. Like even like rappers like Houston's just so big, man. So you got like a bunch of different pockets and even like subgenres of this music stuff.
Right, because they're getting on the radio too. Mm-hmm. Megan Thee Stallion.
Megan Thee Stallion. Megan Thee, T-H-E-E. Mm-hmm. Stallion. Dropping records.
She
calling herself Tina Snow, sounding like female Pimp C.
Yeah, her sound is sturdy, man. It sounds like she might be up to something, man. She might have a name here in a minute. Mm-hmm. She got a name now, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I remember.
She got a chance to go household right now.
Maxwell Cream has a record that he put out. I think Mike Dean might have produced it because he was tagged in the Instagram, but I don't know if he engineered or made the beat, but it's jamming. So shout out to Track Sounds for introducing me to Maxwell Cream and Maxwell just being having his own lane. I gotta admit, like, the Maxwell Cream, when he was just doing all these songs, I was like, okay, this is different. And he just always had his own wave of fans, and so do these other artists who come out of the same region, you know? They got their own, like, lane and a whole bunch of followers, likes, like, crazy. From everyone, from, like, DJ Chose to, like, Beat King to, you know, even some of the OGs, like, still come back with songs, like ESG or new people like Trilly Poke, you know, pop out.
Trilly Poke?
Mm-hmm.
Who's Trilly Poke?
You ever heard Trilly Poke?
Oh, nah. Man.
I'll show you.
Chili Poke. I gotta check that out. But back to your earlier point as well. I do enjoy when these guys can bubble. Like, you respect them even if you don't really know all their music. Mm-hmm. And then they catch you slipping one day. And you're like, oh, this is nice. Who is this? And you're like, oh, I've been sleeping on somebody I already knew. Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of artist that they are. Like, Fat Tony's got a show on Vice now. That's cool. He's always touring, doing his thing. Matt was trying to tell us. But yeah, it's cool seeing all those folks in the cut. And there's definitely some people in the cut here in Austin. There's this dude named Abi the Nomad that I heard is like blowing up. You heard of this guy?
Abi the Nomad? A-B-I?
Yeah, A-B-H-I. I believe he's performing at the Music Awards. And so are we, man. Me, T-Double, Trey God, Smacko, doing an Overlord tribute. Overlord, King Art.
Hip-Hop Hump Day.
Hip-Hop Hump Day.
Reunion.
Yeah, not really. It's really just three dudes rapping that used to be at that, you know. And I think we're doing an Overlord song. I need to go to rehearsal. But yeah, we're doing that February 27th. Shout out to Celeste Quesada.
Yes, thank you.
The producer of the Austin Music Awards. And we have some other...
DJ Mel information related to that.
DJ Mel's performing. Let me
throwback. Awesome.
Yeah, Jacob Dylan, Black Pumas, which is Adrian Quesada. Tomar Williams, Carnival Beats. He's performing as a singer.
Dope.
I'm just skipping around. John D. Graham, you know, the tribute to Overlord. It's gonna be cool. And then also, you remember when they had like mail bombs in Austin?
Mail bombs.
Yeah, like there was a few packages that were left on
people's. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so the young man, Draylen Mason, I'm sure you heard that there was a really talented young musician.
Oh, yeah.
Who died at that time.
Are they honoring him?
Yes. So Texas Monthly is the news. And Texas Monthly is going to do a tribute to Draylen Mason on March 5th, hosted by myself and Mr. Andy Langer, you know, who does the Esquire. He's a longtime music journalist that's been working in Austin for a long time and works with a lot of bigger brands as well.
Okay.
He's a pretty well-established writer.
So that's going to be a big Austin hip-hop event, or just Austin music event in general to go to. That's going to be the Austin Music Awards, February 26th, you say.
Yep. Austin Music Awards is on that day. And then there's the other day, which is when he and I are doing the tribute to Draylen Mason. And that day is the 5th of March, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Coming up. Mm-hmm. No, 5th of March is after, but either way. Right. Both those days will be here pretty soon.
It's almost February, so you know when you're grown up hip-hop, you're getting calls for Black History programs like crazy every year. Come perform here. Come perform here. You're all kids are here.
Speaking of which, what are you doing next Friday?
Next Friday, the first? Mm-hmm. Did I forget something?
No.
Okay, I don't know.
We need a performer.
You do?
Yeah.
For Black History?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Are you serious? No. Yeah. No, no, stop it. Stop it. But it's pretty much.
Another thing that we thought was never going to get here and finally did was Killer Mike's show. Trigger warning, which is
pretty potent.
I knew it was going to be awesome because he's just an awesome, charismatic, and like a true advocate for community and like just rights for, you know, marginalized communities. Shout out to Killer Mike. This show's amazing. I didn't think it was going to be this awesome. It's kind of raw and
it's cool. Face. It's raw in your face. The topics still kind of brainstorm, but he chases down the plot in a certain way. Really, it's pretty. Good. It's pretty intriguing.
I haven't
man.
Seen it on Netflix. It's a good show. Check it out. Killer Mike. Trigger warning. Oh man.
I've been watching it watching it making breakfast pretty much every day.
It is the bomb. It is great. The first episode, what he does is he calls it like I'm living black and for 3 days. And what he says is he wants to spend money or keep money only in the black community. So he wants to buy from black merchants or black store owners and that food has to come from black farms or black, you know, his barbecue must be from, you know, black ranchers.
Right.
And it was very difficult for him finding things and he finally did. And it was great. But even, you know, he's a smoker, right? So he had to find weed from black, you know, person who had that, you know.
Right. That. Which he never did.
I think he did at the very end.
No, at the end, it was midnight, so it was over.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Right. Pretty funny. But yeah, it's definitely a quality show.
But other things, I like, there's one he does about education.
Oh, yeah, he's in the schools and he's trying to get them to learn something practical. And that's what I'm saying about those twists. Like,
yeah.
I'm reading this book, Creative Quest, by Questlove of the Roots, you know, and a bunch of other stuff. And he's talking about creative thinking. And it basically is, it's almost like that divergent thinking that comes natural to young people, but school kind of a lot of times beats it out of you, where you start with a topic. And when you jump to kind of another twist on that topic, you still kind of go with it. Like, it seems like he always writes a plot that kind of has twists and turns and ends up in a different place than it starts, but still based on the same general subject, you know? He goes from, you know, why is Jesus white to having a church of sleep in a strip club smoking weed by the end of that same episode. So those twists and turns in the Creative Quest book, he talks about it as if following... being able to improvise and kind of follow these twists and turns and unexpected, you know, scenarios that it makes you sharper at creating. So I wonder how much of this is like shit. Well, it seems really well organized, but I'm saying you can tell that there's a brainstorming process, a shedding process, because they leave a lot of the plot free to kind of twist and turn.
There's definitely a lot of wiggle room.
There's a lot of wiggle room in the best way possible.
Yeah, in the creative part, but...
Keeps you on the edge of your seat to wonder what's going to happen next.
But what else could you expect from Killer Mike?
Right.
You know?
Right.
To me, it was always, like, overlooked. Like, art... I mean, he came up under Outkast, so it's kind of hard, you know? You know, with those dudes being on the forefront, to kind of have your space.
Right.
But just... It's a long time for people to kind of like respect him like they kind of finally do.
Yeah, he shared his mind. He's smart. He's getting a bunch of ideas out, of course, which is really important.
It's like reinventing himself, kind of like 2 Chainz did, but like on a different, just like a community, social, political activist level too. You know what I'm saying?
Of course, absolutely. Speaking of which, there's this group called The Coup. And this brother from the Bay and a lady.
C-O-U-P?
C-O-U-P. There was a lady, Pamela Funkstress, who was the DJ. She actually came to Austin to perform, I believe, at Body Rock or Ross Day once upon a time. But they made very kind of political, sort of communist, Marxist type. I'm just generalizing here, music, but very thought-provoking, very jamming, very true to the Bay Area, very important to the Bay Area. And Boots Riley was the MC, and he basically looks like Huey Newton or something, like old school, pork chops, big afro. And he ends up writing this movie starring Lakeith Stanfield, one of the main guys from Atlanta. And that movie's called Sorry to Bother You. Tessa Thompson's in it. It was a pretty tripped out movie. But he wrote it, directed it the whole nine. He was an underground MC, so it's not like a Jay-Z starting to make films. It's like Boots Riley, you know, just an authentic, you know, kind of independent artist, but legendary nonetheless. So I just learned that he signed with a bigger company for what's called a blind script deal, I think it's called, which sounds like he hasn't written anything yet or he's not being held to drop a certain film. Yeah. But regardless, shout out to Boots Riley for that come up as far as being able to transfer that creativity to like a different medium, which is a lot of what we talk about on this show, because it's always proof that, you know, hip-hop grew up. It did.
And man, today was a really good show. I'm glad we all
had a lot to say.
We had a lot to kind of go back and forth on. Many, many topics. Sometimes we dwell on the same one, so today was a little bit different, but it was still dope.
Yeah, it's good talking to you, man. I'm glad, you know, shout out to my students. I know some of them listen because y'all are nosy. Thanks for listening. Mr. Blakes loves you, and so does Mr. Almeida.
Yeah. All right. So Hip Hop Grew Up. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. Peace.